This is Judith Lay saying Moramai as the island's Christian community is once again at your service. Manx Radio. Good morning and welcome to the programme that I hope will lift us up while we're locked down and not able to be together in our churches, chapels and community groups. And this week, it's all about the girls.
Very sociable.
She's very sweet.
She just liked everything and anything.
She's 90 next month.
She's got a lovely smile.
She phones me up every week.
She loves flowers.
Loved nature.
She spoke fluent Italian, fluent French, and when she was in her 60s, she learnt German.
She's originally from Switzerland, and she talks half Yorkshire, half English somehow, and half Swiss.
She was a great giver.
Very loving, very warm.
She's wonderful, because she's always there when we need her.
Thank God for mothers. God only knows what
I'd be. This is Mothering Sunday, a day that has its roots in the tradition of young people working away in service returning to their mother church at this halfway point in the season of Lent. But today, Mothering Sunday has grown into a full-blown, highly commercialised celebration of motherhood. For Margaret Tooth, this day has a double significance.
For me, it has two meanings. As a mother myself, on the receiving end of my children's devotion, and as a daughter, reminded that my mother is no longer around to receive mine. Recently, in a drawer, I found a little heart-shaped brooch with coloured stones round the edge and Mother inscribed across it. I remember buying it when I was about 7 or 8. I thought it was the most beautiful gift in the whole of Woolworths, and I remember how puzzled I was that my mother seemed reluctant to wear it. I wonder what the Creator of the universe thinks of our offerings to him. Our language must be inadequate. Our art, our music, which we think heavenly, nowhere near it. But Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, be like little children, children who above all offer their love. In the end, the gift is less important than the love it represents. My mother didn't wear the brooch I gave her, but finding it all these years later reassured me that she accepted the love that came with it.
O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, an a cappella version of the hymn written in just 5 minutes by George Matheson at a time of great personal distress. We may reject the Lord or simply forget about him, but he will never let us go. We may give up on the Lord, but he never gives up on us. Love that never lets us go is perhaps an appropriate theme on this Mothering Sunday, as we reflect on loving relationships in our life, perhaps with our mothers, perhaps with friends or other relatives who have shown us unwavering, life-changing love. Reverend Joe Dudley, vicar of Christ Church in Laxey, joins us now to share some thoughts about her truly life-giving relationship.
My mother was born on the 1st of March, 1921. As another Mothering Sunday approaches, I give thanks to God for the blessings he gave me when I was born to Phyllis. She had not had an easy life, suffering rheumatic fever at the age of 7 and receiving no actual schooling thereafter. She was taught at home the art of sewing and handicraft by the local school teacher and the love of nature by her farmer father. Living in a tiny Midlands village, the first daughter of two widowed folk, she was born into a family where her mother, a First World War widow, had sons aged 6 and 4, and her father had some 8 or 9 adult children. At 14, she was dispatched to live with one of these half-brothers in his family butchery business, where her soulmate became one of his similar-aged daughters. Life was hard. She escaped at 18 from that life to join the Women's Royal Air Force, and there, of course, she met my dad. She was a cook at fighter and bomber command bases and to the Air Chief Marshal. She learned many cookery skills, which I'm so pleased to say she passed on to me, but also she learned the horrors and griefs of war. How do I know all this? Because Mum and I talked about everything. I know it is a cliche, but I can't think of anything bad to say about her. To name but a few of the good things, she was always interested in all that I was doing. At 13, I did a paper round. Mum and I would be up at 6. Breakfast was made for me by her, and I left at 6:30. It was a special us time, while the rest of the house slept on. Over my teenage years, we would cycle together to local churches where she would sit and listen as I did the frequent organ practice. She always said she knew when it was me playing, even if the organ was out of sight, as it was when we went on a coach trip with a local organist association to the Netherlands. She loved the WI, Mother's Union, Guild of Service, all crafts, and of course her garden. Mothering Sunday 1966, with my paper round money, I bought her a beautiful red camellia. Well, actually, it was just a twig. From Woolworths for 1 and 6. That's 7.5p, if you are too young to remember. When I sold the family home in October 2019, that was a bewitching, huge extravaganza of colour, which always produced its first flowers in time for her birthday. She loved walking with me in the local woods and taught me how to listen to the nightingales. When she was 76, we discovered the beauty, tranquility and peace of the Isles of Scilly, where we went many times on organised bird-watching trips. Many times we went to the WI College, Denman College. Mum would do courses as diverse as Indian cookery to the Alexander technique, from the Harvest of the Sea, a cookery special, to garden design, always keen to learn new skills. She was my sponsor at my ordination, with the procession moving at her pace. In the churchyard at Great Braxted, there grows a beautiful Judas tree near an old family grave, planted by Mum to mark my ordination. Sadly, she was in intensive care at the time of my priesting. One of our wardens, Stella, had been a nurse and was allowed to sit with her. And together Stella told me how they had sung, "Great is thy faithfulness." I am sad that I never had the privilege of Mum receiving communion from me. As we did things together over the years, Mum would always say, "You must have your own life, Joey. I won't always be here." I never really thought that through, and just enjoyed everything we did. For the first time in 90 years, Mothering Sunday 2008 fell on March the 1st. By then I was alone. I despaired of how to cope. I went with a friend, his daughter and two children, to the Tower of London. It cost £75 to get in and close on £100 to eat. When I got home, I found our entry tickets and programme from when Dad and Mum took me in the 1950s. 2 and 6, half a crown, covered everything. We, of course, did take a picnic. How things have changed in that long life. To show my own vulnerability, the only time I could not bear to be in her company was when my friends brought to our home their babies, and as the years went by, their grandchildren, and my mother so beautifully nursed and caressed them. It made me wonder if I had let her down by not giving her a next generation. But Mum was perceptive. At every opportunity, she would declare how it annoyed her when her friends were taken for granted by their families with the expectation of childcare. Mum was loving, caring, and a wonderful role model of how to be, always there in times of joy and grief and everything in between. She guided me in what to like, do, and care about. I cannot thank her enough. We had a wonderful symbiotic relationship where I had the privilege of caring for her in her last few years, but only fully in the last 3 months. As she lay dying in St Helena Hospice in Colchester on the last Sunday of her life, I was due to take a Christmas service at Tiptree. We had chatted when we both woke. She looked at me and said, "You must go." She left me in December 2007. She would love the life I have now found. I wish I had thanked her more often for all that she did for me. We raised a glass in our Zoom prayer meeting on the 1st of March 2021, when incredibly she would have been 100 years old.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God.
Thou hast been, thou forever.
the London Fox Singers and Great is Thy Faithfulness. And my thanks to Reverend Joe Dudley, Vicar of Christ Church in Laxey, for sharing such a very personal reflection on the life of her late mother. On this Mothering Sunday, when so many mothers won't be able to physically meet up with their children, I hope Joe's words might help you to appreciate all the gifts that you've shared, almost without thinking, but which your children will treasure for a lifetime. Well, I did say this programme was all about the girls, and so it is. But this group of girls featured on this programme back in November 2006. But what, for me, is significant is that the organisation they represented then is still flourishing in 71 countries and today involves over 3.5 million women. And the message that they came to deliver in 2006 is still as relevant and challenging today, 15 years later. So, come with me now to St John's Methodist Church on a November day in 2006, when two former world presidents of the World Federation of Methodist and Uniting Church Women travelled to the island to make a bit of Methodist church history. They were Rosemary Wass and Edith Lone, and this is the story. Rosemary Wass and Edith Lone, two leading women in the Methodist Church, came to the island to make a presentation to a local lady, honouring the contribution that she had made to worldwide Methodism during her long and productive life. The lady receiving recognition was Mrs. Elizabeth Kissack, now over 90 years of age, but still an inspirational speaker, well-informed and keenly concerned with all aspects of Christian life. Rosemary Wass has just completed 5 years as president of the World Federation of Methodist and Uniting Church Women, a worldwide organisation of Methodist women, whose title, including the word uniting, recognises all the ecumenical links made by the Methodist Church with other Christian women worldwide. One of Rosemary's last engagements was to attend a World Assembly in Korea, at which it was decided to honour all former world presidents with a very distinctive badge of office. This is a silver chain and pendant bearing the logo of the World Federation, the Tree of Life, as referred to in the Book of Revelation. But one former world president was not in Korea. But so significant was her contribution to the women's movement in the Methodist Church that Rosemary Wass and another former world president, Edith Lone from Northern Ireland, travelled to the island to present the badge of office to Mrs. Elizabeth Kissack before a packed church in St. John's, for whom Elizabeth had both a word of thanks and a word of challenge.
Thank you for coming here and being able to confirm the thanks that I give to the World Federation as an organisation. Because if women the world over really took things seriously, you know, we would make the difference in everything, absolutely everything. Peace or war, food or famine, education or illiteracy. It is the mother's care and responsibility. So I leave that as a thought in your minds when you hear of the World Federation, or if you're asked to support it, please do so. Look at us.
Some challenging words from former president of the World Federation of Methodist and Uniting Church Women, Mrs. Elizabeth Kissack. And many people still remember Mrs. Kissack's late husband, the Reverend Rex Kissack, a former chairman of the Liverpool District of the Methodist Church and another inspirational churchman. Another former president of the World Federation, Irishwoman Mrs. Edith Lone, drew the afternoon to a close with this message.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be here to help in honouring Elizabeth this way. During the 60s, the early 60s, we as a family were living in Northern Ireland, and I had been asked to become involved with business and professional women's organisation. Many of you may know it, many of you may also be members of it. And I was thinking about it, and I remember walking down the main street of the provincial town where we lived and thinking about my commitment. What was I doing with my life? I was bringing up my children, I was supporting my husband, and I was beginning to move into my own career. in that order. And it suddenly came to me, we cannot simply serve God within the church, within the four walls. We have got to be out there where people are. And we've got to witness, however that is. It may not be in words, it may be in actions, it may be in the kind of people we are, in the kind of friendship we offer, in lifting people up to some sort of new vision. And I said to myself and to God, I've got to respond to this. So let's move on. In 1971, I was asked by the woman of the Methodist Church in Ireland, and we're a small connection, a little bit bigger than perhaps you are on this island, but we're also on an island, so I do relate to you in that way. I was asked to go as one of the delegates from Ireland to World Federation. I didn't know what World Federation of Methodist Women was. I had grown up in traditional Methodism, and what were we in those days? We were the sending church. We sent our people, we gave our gifts, we sent our prayers and our support. But at that time, we knew very little about receiving anything back. The opportunities were not there for travel and for mixing, and only those who went to serve really knew what it was like to work amongst people in other countries. And I went to Denver, and I had my eyes opened, and I met these women from so many different countries in Africa, in Asia, even a few from Latin America. I didn't know, knew nothing about North America at that time. And these were women like me, women with the same joy, the same pain, many of the same problems. And they had struggled far harder than I had to get themselves to this assembly. And I came home with a new vision of God's world and of what we were called to do. And in the last 35 years, working with people like Elizabeth, like Rosemary, and so many others around the world, I have learned that women around the world, not that we can make a difference, we can, but that we do make a difference. We make a difference by being ourselves. We make a difference by being the very best people that we can be in our churches, in our families, in our communities. There are so many, many ways in which we can serve. And as we've been talking over the last 24 hours and remembering so much that we did together, we remember some of the women, not many of them Methodist, but the women who have risen to leadership heights. And they have done it with the support of the women of their country, with the support of their families and of the men who supported them. I have worked not only with the church, I've worked in community with our National Women's Council in Ireland. And at a society level, we were trying to do the same thing that we are doing within the church. We are trying to give women the opportunities to be the best that they possibly can. And it's very interesting, you know, that over the years we have had many different themes for our World Assembly. And this last one was the theme of women making a difference. When I was World President, our theme was, Come Holy Spirit, weave us together. Now, there is a link between those two, and I'm not going to stand here and preach you a sermon about it. You can work it out for yourselves. Because God does call us to work together. We are called to be woven together with women of so many different backgrounds, so many different opportunities. And even on this island, you are becoming, as we are in Ireland, a multicultural, multi-faith society, and that is a tremendous challenge that we have all got to be ready to respond to. I haven't seen Elizabeth for some time, although we have kept in touch. The vision that brought us together all those years ago is still with us, and that is that we do God's work in the way that He calls us. This is our witness to what we have been given the great privilege and opportunity to do. Be encouraged. Maybe you'll not see the three of us again. Maybe that doesn't matter. Be yourselves. Be the very best that you can possibly be in your situation, whatever that situation is, whether it's in family, and I guess many of you are grandparents, as we all are. Perhaps you're still serving community in jobs. Perhaps some of you are in responsible careers, or your children are in responsible careers. You're never out of the loop, no matter what age we are, no matter what our calling is, no matter how we live or who we live with. You are part of a great community of God's people in this world. May God bless you all.
Edith Lone, former world president of the World Federation of Methodist and Uniting Church Women, speaking 15 years ago in St. John's Methodist Church at a gathering to honour another former world president, our own Mrs. Elizabeth Kizik. And that organisation is still flourishing today, working in 71 countries. It's a support group for women, acting as a catalyst in their faith and actions, promoting the interests of women in all areas of life, in spiritual growth, equality, development and peace, working towards the recognition of the equal status of women, encouraging and actively promoting leadership training for women, being a voice for Methodist, United and Uniting Church Women. They've got a website if you'd like to know more. If you search for World Federation of Methodist Women, you'll find the link easily. Music is a really important part of this programme, so do please let me know if there's something you'd specially like to hear in future weeks. You can email Judith Lay at manxradio.com, and Lay is spelt L-E-Y. Or you can write to me here at Manx Radio, P.O. Box 1368, Douglas IM 991SW. No church services and no gatherings this week mean no notice board. But when church life resumes and you plan new opportunities for us to meet, do please let me know so I can mention them here and on Sundown. And speaking of Sundown, I'll be back tonight at 9 with my weekly invitation to share a selection of easy listening music to round off your weekend. But for now, this is Judith praying that you and those you care about will have a peaceful week, knowing that we are all deeply loved. Thank you for listening. I wish you a very good morning.